What's up, Wada Hockey fans? You've heard us talk about DraftKings every week, and DraftKings is the leader in daily fantasy sports. And now payday can come every day by entering their contest with huge cash prizes up for grabs. Making a lineup on DraftKings adds excitement to every night and is simple to do. All you got to do is draft your lineup and feel the sweat like never before. Every moment means more with the DraftKings lineup on the line. DraftKings has paid out over $7 billion to users all across sports. DraftKings is the leader in fantasy sports, so there's no better place to get in on all the action. How do you do it? I'll tell you. Now that you know how to play, just set your lineup every night, download the DraftKings app, and sign up using code THPN. New users will get a free entry with their first deposit. That's code THPN. You'll hear it one more time. To get a free entry with your first deposit, only at DraftKings. Minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. And as always, enjoy the show.
Struggling on the sound, Jason. Welcome back to another delicious episode of Wada Hockey, brought to you by the Hockey Podcast Network, proudly supported by DraftKings. Singing if you know it, make sure to head over to the DraftKings app today and use promo code THPN to get right in on all of the action. And a little new spiel for you. Please make sure to leave us a review on all podcast platforms if they allow you to do so. Share the goodness that is Wada Hockey with all your friends, all your family, via whatever social media platform is your go-to platform. We've got a packed show for you today, so we're going to dive right in. We're going to get you guys going. First, let's catch up a little bit. Jason, Patrick, how are you now?
Dude, pretty good. Just literally got back from the Jurassic Park world experience or whatever it is up in the colony.
Ooh, how was that?
Nice, it was pretty baller, man. That was probably one of the coolest things I've ever seen. I know, obviously, dinosaurs, not real in this day and age, but just saying, they look pretty
kind of real.
Kind of real.
They're real to me, damn it.
Yeah, they really are. So, no, it was pretty cool, though.
Did Max have a fun time?
Yeah, until, like, I don't want to ruin the experience for you if you plan on going, but there's a spot at the end where they try to, they try to get you, right?
Yeah.
And that part got him, but, you know, it's two, man. What the hell? But other than that, no, then we end up going to Shields afterwards.
Oh, the sports store.
Dude, that place is, have you been?
No, because I know that I'm going to spend my entire paycheck if I go.
I managed to only spend $4 there, so.
Wow.
$4.32.
Was that to get in?
No, it was, I knew I didn't want to spend a shit ton of money there, so I knew I needed some new laces for my skate, so I picked up some new laces.
Oh, nice. Yellow?
No, actually orange. They didn't have any yellow, black, or white in wax laces. They only had non-wax laces for those. I'm like, that's stupid. So I ended up getting orange, you know, for pylons.
Hey, nice. Shields, largest sports store in the world. Get it together.
Yeah. Come on, man. Waxed and non-waxed laces. Come on.
Unbelievable. Patrick, how was your weekend?
It was good, man. Tried out a Korean barbecue place up in Carrollton, Jin Barbecue. And, dude, it's wild. It was an hour wait, and the place was packed wall to wall the entire time we were there.
Oh, yeah. It's like the genuine experience of being in Korea.
Yeah.
I say that as if I've gone to Korea. Good. I've never left the country. I see a lot of movies.
It was really good, though. And we hit up a bar beforehand while we were waiting that had some of the best takoyaki I've ever had, which is like fried octopus. It's Japanese street food.
Nice.
Would recommend. The bartender gave us a free green tea shot on him, which was really cool.
And I mean, it's no Jägermeister, but I guess it'll do.
Hey, if it's free, I'm not one to complain.
If it's free, it's for me.
Can we do a quick circle back?
Uh-oh.
Think you've never been out of the country before?
No, I've been off the continental U.S. For my birthday this year, I went to Puerto Rico with some coworkers, which was phenomenal. Huge shout out to them for, spur-of-the-moment trip. But no, not yet. I want to go to Tokyo, though. I feel like I'd be real big there, literally, because I'd be taller than everybody.
Yeah, you would be.
Let's make this happen. Can we make this happen?
Yeah. Let's start a Patreon.
Yeah.
we'll get Fink out of the country.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'll spread the word of Wada Hockey throughout the entire world.
There we go.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's something that I definitely want to do. Something that you should all do is definitely go to Texas Hockey Apparel right away. We officially have the naming rights to the gray and black hoodie that Patrick loves so much. It is considered the hug now, because it feels like you're being hugged since the moment you put it on till you take it off, then you just feel sadness. So head over to texashockeyapparel.com. They've got some new slides in there. I don't know how many pairs they have left and what sizes, but they have some awesome slides with the Texas Hockey Apparel logo on it. And it looks like Jason's really excited about it. Jason,
no, those look pretty dope. I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah,
they look super comfy. I'm gonna may have to hit Garrett up for a pair.
And then I'm gonna do a dual plug segue here because that's just kind of how I'm feeling right now. You know what else Texas Hockey Apparel has? They have polos. And you know where you can wear polos? You can wear them on the golf course. But right now it's too stinking hot on the golf course. And today and yesterday it's been raining. So not only is it hot, it's humid. But Patrick, I believe you can tell us a little bit more about how you can get around that and still get the strokes in with your, was it Smash Factor?
Yeah, man, I'm playing this weekend. Got to wake up at like 6 o'clock to make a 7 o'clock tee time. And it's really inconvenient. But if you want to wait until the sun goes down, you can give the range a call and they'll come to you. I played last weekend, had to sort of jankily measure out my drive distance on a couple holes, not to brag, but hit 350 on a par 5.
Watch out, Pat. Watch out, Bryson.
But if you want accurate readings using TrackMan technology, you can hit up the range, play a bunch of nice courses. You can see your swing speed, ball speed, smash factor. Dispersion, curve, all the fancy stuff the pros have access to. Give them a shout at therangegolf.com for availability. Check out their rates, see what courses they got, how it works. And you can follow them at @therange_golf on Instagram. Check them out. They got T-Box Tuesdays. I missed today's. I haven't really been on Instagram, but I'm sure it was a really nice virtual flyover of whatever feature course is this week. So go check them out. Again, that's at @therange_golf on Instagram and therangegolf.com. They'll bring the range to you.
They'll bring the range to you. They've got some sick merch as well. Real quick maintenance updates. The Allen Americans have some cool news that they broke this past week. Their arena is now going to officially be known as the Credit Union of Texas Arena. The CUDA, I guess, or the CUDA. I don't know what you want to call it, but it's the Credit Union of Texas Arena. And something that might pertain to us here pretty soon, not going to drop any subtle hints or anything, is they're installing a new sound system and 5 new video boards. You might see some see some familiar faces and hear some familiar voices in the upcoming season. If that doesn't give away anything, I don't know what will. And stay tuned for next week's episode, because obviously there is a lot going on in the Dallas Stars news junket, I guess you could say. But right now, we've got a huge yes coming up that we really wanted to kind of give the time to. So, like I said, we'll have news on Miro Heiskanen's monster deal, who the Kraken are going to take in tomorrow. Obviously, we record on Tuesdays, release on Thursday, so you'll hear this the day after. Expansion draft and a whole lot more, because I feel like that expansion draft is the first domino and a lot of dominoes to fall, not just for the Stars, but for everyone around the league.
It's going to be interesting.
Yeah, definitely. Jason, I just want everyone to know, I love when Jason gets excited to say something, because obviously you can't hear this, or you can't see this, you can hear it, but he gets so geeked up and he gets close to the mic, and I know he wants to say something. So Jason, kick it a nickel, as they would say in the rap game.
No, I'm very excited about what the Kraken are going to do here. Obviously, there's lots of speculation between who the Kraken are going to take from Dallas, whether it's going to be Bishop, who just got brought up again recently, was in talks. Oh, Jesus Christ, I can't remember the name now.
Well, Jamie Oleksiak is an unrestricted free agent.
Big Rig, yeah, that's what it was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. He's a possibility.
So yeah, man, it's being fun. It's getting fun. In the talks of Miro for Jones over in Columbus.
You mean Klinger? Klinger.
Klinger. Oh, it was Klinger for Jones. Yeah, Klinger.
Yeah.
That's what I mean.
Oh, you're going to get chastised so hard for that one.
Whatever, man. Bring it on.
Yeah, this is Wada Hockey, not your show.
Exactly.
Well, yeah, stay tuned for next week's episode. Comes out on, obviously Thursday of next week, there will be a ton of updates for you. We'll probably have some Americans updates as well, as I have seen that they have actually made some player signings that they just have not announced yet. Spencer Ostrzok, the captain, is back again for his record 9th season in the ECHL with the Allen Americans, so definitely stay tuned for that. Up next is a name you may not be immediately familiar with, but when we tell you that you know his work, we mean it. He's the man behind the camera and the mastermind that created We're Not Going Home, the documentary capturing the Dallas Stars playoff run inside the bubble last year in 2020. He was the single media person allowed to travel with the team. He's been a part of the Stars organization for 6 years up until this last season, and most recently took part in the Mental Miles journey along with Stephen Johns, which we'll definitely be diving into. He also had a hand in working alongside Razor and Mike Hyka on the Rinky Dinking podcast. Ladies and gentlemen, the man, the myth, the legend, Jeff Totes. Welcome to Wada Hockey.
What's up, guys? Thanks for having me. This is cool.
Absolutely. We are super excited to hear from you. Obviously, you've been on the road for a long time and are back in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, if only for a little while. How did you get into this industry? Is this something that you always wanted, or is this something that you developed over time? And have you always wanted to end up in the sports arena when it comes to what you do?
Yeah, it's definitely something that was always a passion of mine. Going back to high school, having a YouTube channel, buying a camera, just kind of doing all this sort of dumb comedic sketch type video stuff that just teaches you the most basic shooting and editing, and loving that. And then I got plugged in at Texas A&M with the 12 man productions department, which is kind of the creative branch of the athletic department. And so that was something that really put those skills, which were pretty much non-existent at the start, into the sports arena, doing different broadcast stuff, feature productions, stuff like that. But it was a while before I ever thought it could be a full-time thing. It was just something I loved doing. And even if I wasn't in it full-time, it's the type of thing that would be a hobby. So I feel really fortunate to have then gotten that job with the Stars immediately after graduation in 2015. And be able to do that for the last 6 years and kind of develop those skills. But it's definitely something I've always been passionate about and fortunately still am.
Right on. Kind of have a quick follow-up there. I see you got a couple guitars back there. So was it kind of, I mean, obviously you're really into media and everything, creating content creation and everything. Was it more of like a musical, like you started off in music and then wanted to like kind of add to it, or kind of vice versa?
No, this is funny, and actually probably going a little bit deeper than you intended with that question. But something I always tell people is, like, with cameras, I started at the entry level by first buying like the cheapest one I could afford in high school, working with that. And like, as I moved up within it, I was able to get better gear. But with guitars is something like I kind of jumped in at the top floor and bought a really nice Stratocaster that I have no business using.
Because that's what I was going to ask. It looks like a Strat, and I was going to ask.
I have a Strat and then that St. Vincent signature Ernie Ball, and just alternate between those two and then an acoustic. But I have no I'm way ahead of my skill level in gear there. That's purely, purely a hobby.
Fair enough, there's nothing wrong with that. Literally, this is a really special episode, I think, for us and for everyone that's listening, because obviously we've had a lot of fantastic personalities within the sport of hockey, but you kind of branch a little bit outside of that, because obviously this is something that we're pursuing on the media side of things. So it's kind of cool to have you on and kind of, you know, pick your brain a little bit, but also ask questions in between. So that being said, I do want to kind of dive in a little bit to the hockey world just for a moment. We can kind of, you know, dip our toes in and out. But what was it like getting told and experiencing the bubble? Basically getting told like, hey, this Dallas Stars is going to be going to Canada. We're going to put you guys inside a bubble. And they've allowed you to be the only person that will travel with them on the media side of things. And what was that like basically being a part of the team for almost 3 months?
Yeah, that was by far the craziest experience anyone in my role could have. I was really tuned into kind of the back and forth as the league started to refine the travel parties, because initially what the league said was every team can take 50 people. And instantly I was doing the math, looking at players, GM group, everything. And initially it was like, there's not even a chance. But I was in communication with the team, and like, if there is a chance, I want to be that person. And it's funny, 'cause they kind of asked like, very tentatively, would you be willing to do this? And it's like, no doubt, please. I can't imagine a cooler opportunity. So then it kind of shook down that the league decided every team could send basically one content person or someone in my position or a secondary PR person. So once it was expanded to 51 and I knew I was going to be the 51st, I can't tell you how excited I was. Because it also came at a time where nothing's been going on for months, right? So like I've just been sitting in my apartment. So of course I'm like, it wasn't like I was living life and had to pause for this. It's like everything was paused. So of course I'll do this. So yeah, that was fantastic opportunity.
And you were basically given all access to everything. Like when I say that you were essentially a part of the team, like you basically were part of the team for that time. And so how was that? Did that obviously help build those relationships and build that trust as the camera guy? Because, you know, everyone has seen your work and they always hear, you always hear the guys saying totes and totesy and like, they know who you are, but yeah. How was it having that experience and getting the chance to be so much closer than pretty much any other media person would have been?
Yeah, exactly. Because that's something I've been pushing for in the years leading up to it with the Stars, is kind of breaking down these barriers between fans and the team and showing some of this exclusive content. But at the end of the day, in a regular season, there still is separation between kind of the accessory staff and then the team side of things. But there in the bubble, there was none. And so that's like the thing where, I mean, I'm like, there was no option for separation in terms of every meal. I was in every meeting, like pregame, night before games, like. And so just like I set the precedent from day one when we got there, the camera was always there. I was always rolling. And so kind of bought that trust early. And then there was no option to not be there. So, I mean, by the end of that 66 days, I had sat at a table and eaten a meal with every guy on the team. And like a lot of guys I hadn't even had a conversation, or several guys maybe I hadn't even had a conversation with going into that. By the end, we had at least had a meal together. So that was the bubble experience for what I was trying to do was so invaluable.
Yeah, and I will say before Jason takes this next one, is if you have not seen it, it's on YouTube. It's called We're Not Going Home, and it literally follows the team from the moment they get told about the bubble to the moment it's over. And then there's an obvious, very, very famous scene. Most people that listen to this know, but it's with Jamie Benn sitting in the locker room by himself after the final game of the playoffs when they were eliminated by the Tampa Bay Lightning. Yuck. And it was just seeing how much emotion goes into it. I think you captured it absolutely perfectly. And that's honestly why we have started doing this as a podcast, because we're trying to peel back those layers, because unfortunately I feel like out of the four major leagues, the NHL is severely lacking in promoting and marketing its players and making them like it. So shout out to Paul Walker. Rest in peace, my guy.
Anyone see F9? I saw it 2 days
not
ago.
Not yet.
Nope.
What a film.
But we're all family, yeah. And that's what matters, because when you're family, nothing else matters.
Nothing stronger than family.
That's right. That's why they love the Olive Garden, because when you're there, you're family. So it's a quick question, man. So please. Did you have that vision, like kind of going into the bubble, like what you wanted to do, or did it just come to you in the bubble?
Yeah, no, it was always the vision. And I don't know, like, you guys remember how rough the bubble started with the round robin and first two Calgary games?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And at some point in that, goalie coach Jeff Reese asked me, he's like, hey, what are you filming for? Because obviously at that point, you're not seeing my stuff on Twitter. You're not seeing these clips, like, but I'm always there with the camera. And he's like, what are you shooting for? And I said, hey, when we win the Stanley Cup this year, we're going to do a Last Dance style. Like, and that's what helped actually, is like the Last Dance had just come out over the previous months. Whole team had watched that. So I used that as a point of reference. I was like, look, like you're in the locker room, you're on the training table, all this. I'm here with the camera. That's how they do the Last Dance. But I remember saying that to Jeff Reese, like, when we win the cup, we're doing the Last Dance style documentary. And he laughed and said, we're going to have to pick it up big time if we want to get there. Cause it was like, team was 0-3-1 in round robin and just lost game one to Calgary or something. Like I was figuring this footage wouldn't see the light of day. So it ended up, the story paid off. I mean, obviously not the ending, but it worked out.
Sounds like you were the motivation there. They won it.
I think so.
They won it.
I wasn't going to say it, but
no, it's true. Write it down. It's on set. It's recorded now, so you can't go back on your word.
So you said you were rolling for, this is just as an aside.
Yeah.
You said you were rolling for 66 straight days. how many hard drives, what was the total file size, would you estimate? We talking like multiple terabytes of data?
No, it was just over a terabyte. That's wrong. After I had two hard drives, one of all my footage, which was like 1.2 terabytes, and I shot in HD, not 4K, which would have put it way over.
Yeah.
It was like 1.2 terabytes, and then I had another drive with every full game from the bubble recorded, like a clean program record, and then full radio calls. So I think I remember sitting down with like 3.5 terabytes total and knowing that that was going to be condensed to 1 hour. So it was like no shortage of footage.
That's so much to sift through.
It's crazy, yeah. Because when you watch it, you see all these meeting moments and you see Bones talking to the team, and I take a 10-second soundbite, and that corresponds to a 20-minute film session that I was filming the whole thing of. So it was really, truly like one of the things I'm most proud of about it is the sheer volume of materials that got condensed for it.
Yeah, that's a lot left on the cutting room floor for sure. And I'm sure you had some gold material that didn't end up in the final production.
Mm-hmm.
Also, real quick, big shout out to YouTube for letting it be unedited, or whoever's decision that was, because that made it so much more genuine.
Yeah.
Yeah, big shout out to Dallstar's marketing group and all that brilliant. For accepting that. Yeah, that's really makes it much more immersive.
One more follow-up on the bubble. You know, we heard from all the players how difficult it was for them, the mental slog, the same thing day in and day out, just essentially doing nothing but playing hockey. What was the most difficult part of that experience for you? Was it, you know, the brain swab every day? I assume you got tested every day just like them, family and friends, you know. What would you say?
One thing that's kind of become a joke between me and some of the players and the staff, and it's 100% true. I love the bubble. Like, I could have done it for months. Like, it was the best work environment. It was, I mean, like, I live in like a studio apartment here in Dallas. I wasn't in a relationship or anything. It was like, it felt like going to summer camp, and I had a blast. And so, and no one else saw it that way. Everyone else hated it, and it right. felt like a 5-star prison, but I could have kept it going because I don't know, unlimited coffee and donuts, room service. I mean, plenty of beers. Like, you're going to a playoff game every other day, and on the days between that, you're playing Xbox and ping pong with pro athletes. Like, I was in heaven.
Not a bad
deal when you
they
put
give
it
you free
way.
Timmies up there.
Yeah, free Tims, all yeah. like unlimited, and that was daily for me. Like, come on, it was great.
Okay, how was the food, though? Because I know a lot of the players, like, they said, like, the monotony of the same food was over and over. How was it for you? What was your experience with that?
Well, it also became a joke that I was, like, a bit of a mooch, because there would be – it's like
– cornbread?
Any free stuff I was on. And, like, the you know, the breakfast buffet from 7 to noon, so I'm hitting that at 7:30 and 11:30 for two Brilliant. Meals. And, like
– veteran move.
Yeah, it was – and, like, that I don't care if you move. Label that as – saving your money, but it's the food got repetitive but not unbearable, at least for me.
Nice. Yeah, that's I think I'm the single one out of the three. No kids, no family, no immediate.
You could have done it.
Yeah, I could have been there. Yeah, I mean, the camera would have been a little shaky. Yeah, I probably would have left the mic. Man. Yeah, I probably would have left the mic on going to the bathroom. Kelly better not listen to this episode.
Kelly would have.
Can we edit that one out? Is it too late?
Yeah. Well, okay. I obviously, this is all kind of a dream job for us because none of us are, unfortunately, athletes. Last time I checked, even though, God bless,
Speak
we want to be. Yeah, okay, fair enough.
Yeah, man, I scored a goal last night and drop it.
Okay,
so.
Okay. Two, actually. All right. I was supposed to be there. It was just too late for me. So, and I'm going to steal this one from Patrick, and I'm sorry, Patrick, but what has been your most memorable? Okay, actually, I'll hand it to Patrick. Patrick, I want you to have this because you wrote it, and I can't be a mooch like totes in the bubble.
All right. I still wear the free shirts we got and stuff like that. Like,
okay, I'm pretty sure
the shake, man. You got
two out of the three of the guys on the show are wearing free shirts right now. So we're with you.
Yeah, huge. I'm into it. No shame.
Mine's pretty simple. Favorite memory. I guess we can probably exclude the bubble because I feel like just given your answers, that may answer this question. But favorite memory doing videography for the Stars?
That's tough. It's actually not the big moments. Like, it's not the Gurionov goal to send them to the Stanley Cup. It's like, those aren't really the ones you think. There's like certain moments where I've kind of gotten to step back and just like look at the situation and be like, my job's crazy. Like, I got sent to Finland in summer 2019, and you know, I spent the day with Miro, and I sat on his couch for 2 hours while he had door alarms installed in his house. And it was like, I'm in Finland. Like, what? This is crazy. Or like going up to Canada and shooting that back home video with Tyler and hanging out at his cottage all day. Like, that. And then it's a bubble memory, and it's a weird one, but being handed a shirt and cap when they won the Western Conference, like, I guess growing up a sports fan and seeing like locker room shirts and caps, like, it's not something I even thought of ahead of time. But then someone was like, what size? And gave me an XL shirt and a hat that said Western Conference Champions. I was like, whoa, this is like, I have no business being here. This is amazing.
It seems like a pretty surreal moment. Like,
it was
so real. I mean, yeah.
Because even when Dennis scores that goal, and then I was out on the ice, I got to like, only like two photographers went out there, and I was shooting the guys, and then everyone's partying in the room, and all of it, I was so focused on getting shots, and then getting the shirt and hat was like the first, like, this is big moment. It was crazy. It's something I won't forget.
And that's something that you really only ever see on TV, and you know, you don't ever think that that's something that's going to happen.
Why would you be in that? Yeah, exactly. And I don't think if it was not in the bubble, definitely I wouldn't be in that. So it's like, that's again how much a part of the team I was lucky enough to be for that, those 2 months.
Yeah, that's incredible.
Now I'm curious too, obviously, you know, those are all like insanely memorable times. And this is not to kind of bring down the mood of the show, but what's been the toughest thing to film? What's been where you're like, if I'm watching that, if I'm watching this back, I'm like, I don't want to go edit that because that was really, really tough to watch.
I mean, obviously we talked about it earlier. The shot of Jamie after that loss in Game 6 was like, I had that GoPro running in the locker room. Mm-hmm. I grabbed it once everyone was out like an hour later. And so it has like an hour long clip on it. And I didn't touch that for like over a week. Cause I knew I didn't want to see it, honestly.
Yeah.
And it was exactly what I expected. And then that same night shooting those press conferences, especially Jamie's, and being in that room was just like so heartbreaking. But
yeah,
at the same time, like a tiny bit of my mind's like, documentary, this is gonna be
this
sick.
This is a sick shot.
It's a powerful moment.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it's genuine emotion. And so it's tough, and it does suck to edit, but you also, I mean, you have to experience that for sports.
Right, for sure. Yeah, he went full sad Keanu there on the bench for quite a while. But Jason, hit me with something. Hit me with something philosophical.
So, were you always like a Stars person, or did you just kind of fall into the lap of it?
Yeah, I wasn't a Stars person, hockey person at all, honestly, going into the job. And it's something like I made very clear in my Stars interview, because I thought it would disqualify me from even being considered. I was like, guys, I got to be upfront. I don't know anything about hockey. I'm really just passionate about videos. I've been able to translate that to like football and basketball, baseball. And obviously I want to work in hockey, but I didn't have the knowledge going into it at all.
Just walk in like, so what do you guys do here?
Yeah. I was trying, who are you?
Yeah.
I tried to spin it positively and was like, you know, I won't be starstruck working with players or anything, because I literally don't know any of them.
Yeah. I mean, did that kind of help, like, I mean, over the time, like, you try to build those relationships. And so, I mean, you're basically starting from the ground. Like, you're not a fan going into it. So you're basically having to really relate to them.
Exactly. And I've been trying to think about how different it would be if maybe I started in the NBA or something, because I am I've been a lifelong NBA fan. And this was, much more just walking in and meeting other 23-year-olds and like relating to them on that. And it helps that, I mean, you guys know hockey players are like, and everyone I know who's worked in every sport says it. Hockey players are the chillest, nicest, easiest to work with. And I found that to be the case for sure.
Yeah. Prime example with Miro Heiskanen's answer always being, oh, pretty good. It's got, you can't get much out of him.
Love him.
Outside of the Stars, you said you came from A&M, Giggum, whoop. You were right in the thick of the Johnny Manziel era.
Yep, same class.
Were you able to So you were involved with that media production. Did you guys have any run-ins, and how were the run-ins with the team? Because that was obviously, that's the best team that's come through A&M.
It's a media frenzy.
Definitely. Yeah, that was the best, because like they went to the SEC my sophomore year. That's when I started working for the teams. And then it was just like, yeah, it was like the media hub of the college football landscape at that time. And to be in it and to have so much attention on the university was cool. And to get to be at those practices shooting Johnny. And I mean, we crossed paths a lot, had a lot of the same friends, and it's couldn't have been a better time, honestly, especially given how the few years before that went.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I had to pull it from hockey there for A&M for a second. I got a lot of friends that are listening and played at A&M on their club level at their hockey team. But obviously the biggest thing that's been happening most recently, I'm going to kick this over to Patrick, but if you guys that are listening, the Mental Miles movement, obviously if you're a Stars fan, you know the story. If you're not a Stars fan, just a quick synopsis on what happened. Stephen Johns of the Dallas Stars, former defenseman, now retired, more or less went through some traumatic head issues after multiple concussions, which led him on a dark path. I definitely recommend taking a look into his story and seeing a little bit more about what happened, because he's really brought some humility to the sport of hockey that really, I don't know if it was there before, especially with the focus on mental health. That being said, he and now you, Jeff, just took a quick, not so quick, journey on rollerblades across the U.S. to raise awareness for mental health. So I'm going to kick it over to Patrick, but that's kind of what's been going on recently with the Totes Express, so to speak.
Yeah, I just wanted to kind of get your thoughts about Mental Miles. I know you've done a few interviews. You're on the Hard Line with Bob and Corby, and I'm sure you've talked to multiple other people.
Yeah.
So I'm a little familiar with what you're going to say, because I'm a P1. But hear from the horse's mouth, what was that experience like? You know, your decision to go, spending a month, 3 weeks on the road, just you and Steven, what was that like?
Yeah, I mean, first off, going back to my last answer about how easy hockey players to work with and how easy it is to build those relationships. Like, Steven Johns is the ultimate guy that you meet and you're can't believe he's a pro athlete, because he's so cool, down to earth. He's, as soon as we met, we were friends, and it was like, that's someone I'd be friends with if I met in any context. He's just a good dude. And so we're able to build that relationship a bit over the years. And then obviously I was checking in with him a lot over the past couple months, based on knowing that he was probably retiring and all that. And then he came to me with this idea to ride, to rollerblade across the country. And it's crazy, because I finished up work with the Stars in May, and I'm starting my new job in August, just to kind of have a summer and chill. And so it was the fact that I was able to do this trip and have the time was just so fortuitous and unexpected. So yeah, I mean, after me and him talked, 5 days later, I flew up to Pittsburgh, and we set out the next day, and we're on the road for 23 days. And obviously the big goal of it initially was this documentary we were shooting to tell Steven's story, kind of through the Mental Miles ride and going across America. But it became bigger than we expected or even could have imagined, honestly. And so seeing the response to that, seeing people identify with it, reach out, it was the coolest thing ever. It was the coolest 3 weeks. And seeing how much Steven got out of that was just so enriching. And I think our final product from all this will be pretty significant.
Yeah, it was really awesome to follow along on social media for you and for Johns on both accounts. I do have a follow up question: is the drone okay? I know that one of the drones suffered a little setback on the road.
There were two major crashes. Oh, well, two and a half where we crashed. It still flies, which is shout out that. but I was impressed with the strength of it. There was. Kind of had to find it in like a swamp in Ohio. It's lucky it has a built-in GPS, because we were searching for a while, but the drone's still going, which is awesome.
What's That's the awesome. Brand on that?
DJI Mavic Air Mavic. 2S, newest Mavic Air, and it's a trooper. It got, so, I mean, as you saw on social media, some of our best shots. It was awesome.
Yeah, that was so cool. What would you say has been the biggest takeaway from your side? Obviously, with John's, he had a mission when he went on this journey. So, you know, what was the biggest takeaway from you personally?
Oh man, it was so interesting to, I guess, have tough conversations with someone. And I think we've said that before, but it's very rare that you go on a trip with a buddy and talk deep about your mental health, psychology, and really have tough conversations. It's not something I would have ever considered, but given Steven's state and given the story he was telling, we really delve deep and you kind of see the value of that, and you hope that the conversations move that way in the future because it is so important.
Yeah, absolutely. I think I speak for all of us and for all Stars fans and hockey fans and just people in general when we say I'm so excited to see it. It's probably going to be a tough watch, especially, you know, if anyone struggled with any mental health issues or anything along those lines, I'm sure it's going to be tough to watch. And, you know, even as sports fans and as people that have maybe grown up in sports and suffered injuries, like, I think it's something that's going to be able to be relatable to all people. I think I speak for everyone and I say we're really excited about it. I do want to kind of bring it up a little bit, because obviously, like you said, you've gotten really close to a lot of the guys, if not all of them, on the team. Who in your time through the system has been the biggest jokester that you've been like, I got to keep the camera on him because he's going to do something stupid?
It's John Klingberg for sure. He's such a goof and very camera aware and just never serious about anything. And I'm such a fan of his.
Is he the guy like Jim in The Office? Whenever he turns to look at the camera, he's always like,
that's Sagan. That's Tyler. And Tyler gives us the office reaction gifts, which I love. Like, he's truly the Jim of the team. And then, I don't know. Klinger is just, he's the funny one.
Okay. And then, I didn't write this down, but on the opposite note, who's just this, and I feel like I know the answer to this. He might wear the C on his chest, but who's just the most stoic, stone-faced guy of all of them? Because I feel like Jamie Benn, I know he's got some moments where he kind of opens up, but he just seems so, like, when the camera's on, yeah, he's just like, I'm the captain, and that's it.
Low energy Jamie Benn.
But that makes the unguarded moments, like, 10 times better, because you see – and you see, as soon as it's off air and the camera's off, you see that, like, it's like a switch that flips in him. It's crazy. So I love kind of that dual personality of Jamie Benn.
Yeah, that's it's so funny. If you guys haven't seen it, check out YouTube. Just type in Dallas Stars outtakes, and there's a ton of them. And the best ones are always when Benn breaks, because it's almost like, and I feel like most of the team tries to get him to break, which makes it even better. So like you said, just a moment ago, you did accept a new job. You posted on your social media, that you were going to be accepting, or you have accepted a position with Bally Sports, overseeing different projects with multiple sports. And yep. I think you may have given the answer away a little bit with something you said earlier, but what do you think is the most exciting challenge with the new role, and what sport outside of hockey, it's probably basketball, are you most excited to kind of take a next step in your, or take that next step in your career in?
Yeah, I'm so excited to be working on some NBA productions. I'll be starting primarily with Mavericks and Pelicans over the next couple months. Nice. And so the goal is, there's basically my position with the Stars over the past couple years, now with the Mavericks, now with the Pelicans, and helping those teams start doing what I've done the past couple years with the Stars and producing that type of behind-the-scenes content and using it for the Valley Sports Southwest broadcasts. So that's a really amazing. Exciting. I'm so pumped about that, because it's really taking what I've done the past few years and translating that and gaining that trust and being able to tell some of these stories and hopefully becoming best friends with Luca. So we'll see.
Or if I had to pick someone.
Or Zion.
If I want to become best friends with someone, it's Boban.
Yeah. I hope
they keep him around.
That'd be quick. That'd be easy.
Mavrilo Balovic. What was that?
Balovic?
Mavrilo Balovic.
Yeah. Yeah, Boban just seems like just a delight to be around. So that's awesome. What would you say the biggest challenge is? Like, you said you went into the Stars role not knowing anything about hockey. Now that you have covered hockey, what would you say might be the next biggest challenge sports-wise for you?
the biggest challenge is not going to be being on the team side, not being on all the flights, not staying at the hotel, not having that FaceTime where they develop that trust. I mean, it took a little while with the stars to get to it, but once we did and people were seeing what I was doing and connecting my face to some of these edits, it was like you gain that trust. And once you have it, as long as you're smart, you can keep it. But this is starting to try and do some of those things without any recognition and kind of working with PR teams and stuff like that, showing them what I did at the stars and being like, okay, you have to gain that team side trust ultimately from the players, because that's the best content you get. So I am interested to see how kind of that skill set translates in not as conducive of an environment.
Well, we've got two more questions written down, but I want to kick it over to Patrick and Jason, just in case they have any questions they want to throw at you before we wrap it up here.
I got one. How's the skate leg tattoo healed up?
it's good. I've been wearing short shorts since. They give you so much like aftercare instructions about sunlight and pools, and like I got in a pool like a few days later, so we'll see what happens.
It's supposed to like wash away at that point, right? That's what they always told me.
Yeah, it'll fade or something, but it's looks great right now. Like I'm still pumped about it. So I had like a 2-hour flight the next day that I just got to sit and stare at it and like confront that decision directly. So
you're like sitting next to someone, you're like, hey, look, I just got this yesterday.
You really got to confront what you've done with the leg tattoo, especially I have one top of my knee also. You got to. Yep.
It's always in eyesight, especially until you're wearing pants. But it's a good running joke because I can be like, I actually need to buy a pair of rollerblades now and learn because I don't have any. I don't do it. Like, it's so off brand, but I love it.
Jason, do you have anything for Zotes?
Well, I was going to say, you kind of talked about it right there, like with not having rollerblades. Did you pick up like learning how to ice skate and everything with the team, or did you try playing at all?
None. I was asked like my first week with the Stars if I was comfortable skating with a camera, and I was like so scared that if I said no, I was like worthless. And I was like, no, I can't even ice skate, and I never did in those 6 years with the team. And it didn't pick up any skills in that regard. I got better at walking on ice though, that's for sure. That's like I did develop the skill of walking
because it is definitely a skill. And then I guess not a lot of people get to practice it, especially down in the South. You know, you don't really get to try it out very often. No. I mean, we did in February a little bit, but that's about it.
Yeah, and we didn't do very well with that either.
Yeah, we struggled severely. But okay,
Did you ever fall on the ice?
No, but I wish I could find the wide video of after Gurionov's game winner in overtime to send him to the Stanley Cup. That was like early overtime, and there hadn't been action on the Vegas end, so it was like the freshest ice. And so I come out the Zam Tunnel on the opposite side and I have to get to the team on the other side, and I was just like, it was the slickest like shuffle ever. It was brutal. Like I wish I could see it. I'm like sliding my feet, holding the camera, like trying to get these shots, and it was that was tense, but didn't fall, thank God.
I was gonna say, did you lose any equipment like during your tenure there, like pucks getting in any lenses at all?
Actually, no. Knock on wood, very fortunately, that's no equipment casualties.
All right, solid. I mean, I lost a GoPro like 3 weeks into playing hockey. Like, I was kind of pissed.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I decided to set it up on the inside of the boards, and it was a mistake.
Poor decision.
Yeah, somebody caught a puck with it and just shattered it to shit.
$400 down the drain.
Yeah. Well, I've got two more questions written down, but I do have one more that I want to ask, and this for is sure. Kind of more of a personal question. What would you say to anyone that's maybe in the shoes of wanting to get into media, wanting to get into video and video editing, and what kind of advice can you give them kind of outside of the traditional realm? Obviously, going to school and getting an education is one thing, but what can you take from your personal adventures outside of that realm? And kind of give to someone that is aspiring to do what you do?
Yeah, especially given this current year, like right now in 2021, we're at a point where last year everyone cut their staffs down. And luckily right now, everyone's kind of nothing's going to get back to 2019 levels. I think that's the most inflated you'll see creative departments. And then they cut it down in 2020, and now they're going to get back to maybe half of that. So the key, in my opinion, would be versatility. And that's what's going to make you the most valuable in the creative job market. And that means being able to do photo and video, being able to write copy for Twitter, stuff like that is what's going to make you stand out. You can be the best videographer in the world, but budgets are tight, teams are staffing less. So they're going to be looking for someone who can do more than just one thing. And that's tough. And that's like a lot of people struggle with that. And they worry that that's going to create being overworked and a tough work environment. But that seems to be the most valuable thing right now, given the way creative staffs are structured.
Gotcha. Well,
I got one more, Jeff.
Yeah, hit it.
Talking shop. What's your go-to video software?
I'm all Adobe, Adobe Premiere. I used Avid all through college and was really good on Avid. Same. And then the stars were Avid based when I got there. And then I started my second season. I got put on the road traveling, had to be able to do everything on a laptop quick. And that's why I made the Adobe switch, because Avid just wasn't wieldy for the quick turnaround.
Yeah, Avid's a little clunky.
It is. It's perfect for like an edit room like we had at the Stars, where you have a lot of people working on the same projects and you have to be collaborative. Adobe is perfect for like the one man band setup. And that's how it was a couple years ago. Now everybody's going to Premiere and it makes sense.
Yeah. There's a reason it's called Premiere, because it is in fact Premiere.
Cute joke.
Truly.
Thank you. Dad jokes. So to the last couple of questions I have, this is something that we've been asking pretty much everyone that we've had on the show for quite some time now. And I think it's funny because you are the first person that I think we're going to ask this that's actually on the opposite side of the camera. So you are getting a movie made about yourself. So who plays Jeff Totes in the movie about Jeff Totes? I'm putting you now on the other side of the camera being filmed. So who is the actor that plays Jeff Totes?
Ooh, that's really tough. I want to say Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
JGL.
Ooh. Big fan of his. Tremendously versatile actor. And so I'm going to go with that. Huge fan of his.
That's a good answer. We've been getting some good answers on this.
That's a tough one. It's like you either want to go the fully egotistical route, no resume, and be like, oh, well, DiCaprio, obviously. Yeah.
Scorsese's going to direct it.
Yeah. We had one of the American Swears on, and he was very humble about it. He was like, Zach Galifianakis, for sure.
That's the humility answer the other way.
The thing is, it was a perfect fit. So this is the end all be all question for us, because obviously you went to A&M, you're Texas. What's your go-to order at Whataburger?
Ooh, fun. That's very timely. I didn't get Whataburger tonight, but I got Skyrocket Burger in Deep Ellum, and I got double patties, American cheese, pickles, grilled onions, and spicy mayo. And it was perfect. Nice. It was literally one of the best burgers I've had. And I was starving, but like, I was like, lock in this combination. You found it. Like it was,
what was the burger again?
It's called Skyrocket Burger. It's on Hall Street in Deep Ellum. I just live a few blocks away, and I walked up there, and yeah, double patties, American cheese, pickles, grilled onions, and spicy mayo. And it was, the ratio of everything was so perfect. Flavor was impeccable. Yeah. So yeah, Whataburger would be something real close to that. Something like just pickles, onions, cheese.
That sounds kind of like Patrick's order a little bit. I was gonna say, it's very. Man,
Whataburger needs to invest in some spicy mayo, though.
I'd
fuck with that for sure.
It was crazy.
They also need to invest in us, or not sue us,
or just not sue us. Like they could just, they could just give us a letter that says, "Hey,
you're doing what you're doing.
You guys are doing great. Just maybe
invest
change
in you by ignoring you."
Yeah.
Well, boys, I don't have anything else for Totes. We've just got the Razorism of the week, who Totes is very familiar with, so I'm sure he'll cringe to hear the voice once again.
My guy.
But yeah, if you Patrick, if you want to kick it over to the Razorism of the week, we can wrap this one up.
Let's get it.
Another angle from the Jumbotron camera, which is right on the icing line, and it'll tell you the same thing that. Did the bucks over there?
Oh, yeah, there you go.
Webbing and then trampolined out of there.
That one right there tells you that it is.
That does tell you that it's in.
That's it right there.
Not as white balanced as we'd like, but
yeah,
we'll just take the grainy video, and if they have that, in Toronto.
They do now.
Well, yeah.
I don't think they have the direct fees.
You're welcome, Tyler.
His giggle. I mean, he's like a child when he giggles, and I love it.
Is that New Year's Eve 2016?
I think I think you're right.
Nashville Predators?
Yep. Wow. Jeff Toast, everybody. Wow.
I was in the truck for that game running replay. And so then they're like, shoot the Jumbotron, because that was a Jumbotron camera. They didn't have that in the Fox Sports truck. And so they were like on headset with the Jumbotron room to run that replay, and they got a camera to shoot the Jumbotron, and that's how they got that angle. It was crazy.
That's awesome.
Yeah,
that pretty, also that's wow. The most unique Razorism of the week I think we've ever had.
Sure is.
I like the recap there.
Yeah. That was Who is it? The head coach for the now Los Angeles Rams. Is it Sean Payton? Not Payton.
Sean McVay.
That was very Sean McVay of you. Just kind of be like, oh, that was this year, this day, this.
That's the Bob Stern Super Bowl trick.
Yeah.
Nah, it was such a unique, like, hectic, I don't know, production moment that's, like, very memorable. And so that's funny.
That's awesome. Well, Totes, we can't thank you enough for the time. The NBA Finals Game 6, go Bucks, gig'em, whoop, is about to start. We always do a sign-off at the end of the show. This is the last time I put you on the spot, I promise. So if you had a sign-off, I don't know if you had a specific one for Rinky Dinking that you did, but if you have a sign-off, what is it? And we'll hit it from there.
It's thanks and gig'em.
There it is. That's
short
beautiful.
And sweet.
The Aggie exclusive.
Patrick, let them know. Let them know how they can stay.
Stay sassy, always.
And Jason, freak him out a little bit.
And for those who don't know, you got to stay moist.
There it is. And last but certainly not least, for whatever reason, no matter what or how much anyone pays you, do not, for any circumstances, forget your Kermit tattoos.